This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. The Independent Weekly has been covering news, art, and culture in the Triangle for 29 years. Steve Shule recently sold it to Richard Meeker and Mark Zussman. They also own the Willamette Weekly, Willamette Week, which is the alternative weekly in Portland, Oregon. And they own the Santa Fe Reporter as well. So what happens to the Indy now that it has new owners? Will its coverage change? Will the staff stick around? Will the paper keep its voice? Will it survive? To answer some of these questions, we've invited Lisa Sorg on the program. She is the editor at the Independent Weekly. Lisa, welcome back. Good to have you here.
Thanks, Frank.
So tell us about this this sale. Indy's doing well, I guess. Why was it sold? Because it's doing well, I guess.
Well, yes, it's a very attractive property, if you want to put it in sales terms. I think Steve, you know, he loves the paper. He's been with it 29 years. He started it. He's on city council now. He has a political career that he really adores. And I think he felt like it was the right time. I feel like he was not going to sell just to anyone. These, you know, Richard and Mark have been friends of his for many years, and he wanted an ownership that would continue the legacy of the Indy, and that's what he found in them.
So tell us about these new owners and the papers they do run already.
Well, Mark Zussman and Richard Meeker own, like you said, the Willamette Week and Santa Fe Reporter. The Willamette Week is the only alt-weekly to have ever won the Pulitzer Prize in investigative reporting. And so that is an amazing accolade for them to have. And then Richard has local connections in that his brother is the former mayor of Raleigh, Charles Meeker.
So and connecting the Triangle with Portland, not a bad thing to do these days.
No.
Given Portland's reputation. Now, what about the coverage? Do you expect the coverage will change?
I think it will improve, actually. I think we are having some geographic challenges, which we've always had ever since we bought the Spectator, in that we have three major counties, and then you include Chatham. So we have four counties to cover, plus state issues. So I think we are going to try to personalize the paper more towards certain jurisdictions. We're going to be adding at least one position in the newsroom, which will help us do that. So I'm anticipating greater news coverage, more pages, a brightened look. And I can tell you that the morale right there in the newsroom right now is very upbeat and very excited.
Wow, that's interesting. Usually after a sale, everybody's kind of checking their resumes and getting a little worried.
Well, that was more the mood in the middle of the sale when we didn't really know what was going to happen. And, you know, human beings don't like uncertainty. So that was really the stressful time. Once it was solidified, then we all had something to look forward to and knew what our futures were.
You know, you talked about the fact that the Willamette Week was the only alt-weekly or independent paper to win a Pulitzer for investigative reporting. That certainly is what the world needs more of. And the Indy's been, I think, priceless for its ability to bring attention to stories and people who otherwise would go unnoticed. And yet it's very expensive to do that kind of investigative journalism. Is there more of that in your future?
I believe there is. The way that we've done it in the past is we often get grants to do that. We have some kind of supplemental funding source. So that's really the way that people do that now. We did that when Barry Yeoman was at the paper in the 90s. We did that with a couple pieces last year. So we also partnered with the Institute for Southern Studies about Art Pope. So there are partnerships that we are able to forge that we can kind of have a collective effort for those kinds of investigative projects, but definitely much more investigative reporting.
So you talked about new look and a little different emphasis. What will we see? Any kind of additions? Can you describe how it's going to look?
Well, I think that, of course, I think the owners want me to preserve an element of surprise because October 3rd will be the very first issue of under the new ownership. So it'll be bright and shiny and big chrome fenders, I'm guessing. But I think that what you'll see are more restaurant reviews, for example, a greater use of photography. We have award-winning photographers that we really want to emphasize their work. So I think that's from a visual standpoint what you'll see. I think from a content standpoint, my vision for the paper has always been, even though it's printed on newsprint, I want it to have a magazine feel in that I want you to have to sit with the Indy all week long. It's like when you get the New Yorker and you think, I'm going to get behind. I want to take the whole week to read this. That's the goal that I have, is that it will take you 7 days to get through the Independent Weekly.
How has the role of the alt-weekly changed just in the 29 years or so that the Indy's been around?
Well, to sound grizzled.
is that a fedora that you brought in with you?
And a cigar that I'm smoking in here. In the old days, you basically came out on a Wednesday or a Thursday with your 10,000-word opus about some horrible social injustice, and then you sat back and then you just did it again the following Wednesday. That seems like a vacation now, frankly. Now we have online. We have IndieWeek.com that we have to maintain. We have blogs. We have social media. So there are a lot more moving parts, and the expectations are greater. And I think with the advent of blogs and online media, there is a certain expectation of voice. I think that what we can also do is, in addition to offering analysis, I mean, the Indie is unapologetically left of center. I think our news reporting should be rooted in fact with voice and analysis. But it's important that you balance straight opinion with researched news, because everyone has an opinion. Those are easy to come by. To me, it's very important that those opinions be backed up.
Lisa, you are a dinosaur. Fact. We don't use them anymore. They don't use them anymore. The legislature, we don't need them. No, you don't need them anywhere. So, but let me ask you about this, though. The whole notion of an alt-weekly, it was alternative to mainstream corporate. I mean, that by itself has withered on the vine. Does the term even mean anything anymore?
Well, I don't know what it really means anymore. I think we are alternative to mainstream media, because sadly, the mainstream media is withering even more quickly. I think what alt-weeklies do well is they tell stories well. I think there is a premium on narrative arc. I think the reason that people don't read newspapers, and I'm talking about not, just mainstream, is that the stories are told in a very boring way. And I don't mean that in the kind of Jason Blair, let's fictionalize or plagiarize. I'm talking about in a way that engages the reader and makes the reader understand something in a greater way. And it's really our charge not only to report and write, but to do that extremely well.
And something else that the alt-weeklies have always done, and I think now do more and more, and you talked about it, restaurant reviews, movie reviews, theater. So just reflecting the artistic and cultural life of a place is a big responsibility. That takes time and pages as well.
Yes. The cultural aspects, I think the Indie has an incredibly strong culture section. And the reason is also because we try to go places that not everyone goes to, and to show other less noticeable parts of the cultural life of the Triangle that need attention, that deserve some kind of examination, even if it's a bad review, that it deserves to be looked at.
Right. Well, and you talked about there are also these trends toward hyperlocal, most of that happening online. In other words, people, individuals, organizations are moving in to fill niches that have been vacated by mainstream press. I mean, does the Indie, or do you think over time you felt that need? You say, well, let's do a little bit more of this now that there's less of it. Or are you sort of on a track and have a mission almost unaffected by the changes in mainstream media?
Well, I think we have to be nimble. That's the great thing about being in a medium-sized alt-weekly, is that it doesn't take a lot to turn the ship. I think there are times when we have, if someone is not doing as much reporting in one certain topic at the NNO, for example, then we'll notice that. And if it's something that we feel like we can add to the conversation, we will. But I have a staff of, in terms of just in the news section, I have a staff of 3. We have a total of 10 in the editorial department with, about a dozen freelancers. So we cannot be all things to all people. We have to decide what is our niche, what are the topics, the beats that we have expertise in that we can bring something extra to.
So what's the trend nationally for alt-weeklies? Will there be more consolidation? Tell me about the trend.
Well, sadly, for example, the Village Voice Media Company, they're downsizing. They're cutting staff. They bought tons of properties over the last 15 years, and now they're shrinking them. Creative Loafing went bankrupt. The large chains are not doing particularly well. I don't want to say that across the board, but the larger they are, the more vulnerable they are, because they have so much debt. And so it's really important to, you know, run a lean operation.
Well, so that suggests then maybe the mid-size operations like the Indy are actually sort of in the best position at the moment.
That's what David Carr of the New York Times had written just a few weeks ago, saying the small and the mid-sized alt-weeklies, not to say that we haven't weathered hard times. We have. We had layoffs about 4 years ago. Still, in this market and in this climate, it's still better than a lot of papers, larger papers are doing.
Lisa, thanks so much. Always a pleasure to talk with you.
Thank you.
Lisa Sorg, editor of The Independent Weekly. You are listening to The State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio. It's a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill, and there's more to come. Stay tuned.